Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Andrew Mays with you, June 19, 2018. Plenty of reaction out of a big Monday in sport, assessing a lot of the weekend's action and the US Open Golf finishing yesterday as well. So AFL news now, though. The MRO with some controversial statements yesterday. We'll get to them shortly. But Mark Murphy was bailed up ahead of Carlton training and asked about his future.
Oh, look, I just had a brief chat to my manager then, so I'll catch up with him at some stage this week. But, yeah, as I said before, it's about me trying to get back and play football first of all and go from there.
Dustin Martin was given a fine yesterday for his umpire contact by the MRO. Here is Michael Christian on the change of interpretation regarding contact with umpires.
Because those guidelines around intentional umpire contact are not specific, at match review level, we've decided to interpret those guidelines for intentional umpire contact as being when a player disrespectfully, aggressively, dismissively, or indeed forcefully, intentionally touches an umpire.
So you change the rules?
No, what we're doing is trying to interpret the rules that as they are laid down. As I said earlier, they are not specific with respect to being able to explain exactly what the guidelines actually mean with respect to intentional and also careless umpire contact.
Michael Christian there yesterday, just getting a little bit more confusing surrounding umpire contact. More from him a little bit later on in the Breakfast Bite. To live soccer as well, it is the World Cup, of course, continuing. England's first outing for Russia 2018, and they are currently a level with Tunisia. Yeah, levelling things up from the penalty spot. That audio courtesy of SBS. Good to see 48 hours worth of World Cup games on free-to-air TV and not the good old buffering from Optus. Plenty to come on RSN 927's Breakfast Bite. Stick around.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Plenty to come in the Breakfast Club as well. After 6 o'clock this morning, Half, Whitey and Jimmy are back. Max Gawn will be in the Inner Sanctum from Melbourne. Looking forward to hearing from the big ruckman. Dane Zorka, of course, now captain of Brisbane. He'll join us after 7.30 this morning for Around the Ground. Scotty Garland will be in with all the latest footy news and plenty of discussion over a couple of key players and their futures. Mike Clayton will reflect on the US Open after 8.20. We've got the early mail before 7 and very early on too. We're going to head across to England, check in with the Hayes camp, see how Benny Hayes is travelling ahead of his trip to Ascot, and Russell Milton will join us after the conclusion of the England-Tunisia game. As I mentioned, 1-1, 78th minute, England with a free kick in a very handy position just outside the penalty area at the moment. We'll update you on that all throughout the Breakfast Bite. So footy news from yesterday, though, and we'll start with Carlton. They were the story from the weekend. Mark Murphy surely putting a little bit of doubt on his future. Well, you would be after watching that performance on Saturday. He was asked a little bit more about that yesterday outside training.
I've got a really important couple of weeks to get my body right. So at the moment, that's first and foremost, and then making sure that I'm supporting the boys as best I can. Oh, no, not at all. I think I'm here to lead this footy club, and yeah, it's a really important week for us this week to make sure we show the right response, and yeah, more importantly for our fans to make sure they feel that you know, we're playing for them, and yeah, we deserve to, you know, for those supporters who've really stuck with us to play better footy than that. Yeah, it wasn't what we stand for as a footy club, and it was pretty disappointing, to be honest, that first half. So I thought the guys played all right in the second half, but yeah, the damage was done in that first half, which yeah, wasn't good enough. Oh, we spoke about having honest conversations this week and making sure that it's not just about talk, it's about yeah, showing the right response next week and get a chance to do that against a really good side in Collingwood. So it's obviously our first day back today, so no doubt there'll be some robust discussions, and and make sure it's a really solid week on the track. Yeah, we're still two or three, so I've got a solid week on the track this week. So just about trying to get enough load through the body, and hopefully it gets me a chance to play next week.
Mark Murphy to return hopefully next week for the Blues, and don't they need him. To the MRO, and just the one charge laid yesterday, it was Dustin Martin from Richmond, who was charged with a second offence for making careless contact with umpire Jacob Mollison during the game against Geelong at the MCG. In summary, he was able to accept a $1,500 sanction with an early guilty plea. Making careless contact with an umpire on a second occasion is the fixed financial fee of $2,500, but with an early plea, you can walk away with a $1,500 sanction. This is Michael Christian explaining the Dustin Martin incident a little further.
Taking into account recent tribunal decisions, particularly the incident involving Stephen May in round 8, it was decided to charge Dustin under the careless conduct provisions. I had the opportunity to speak to Jacob Molson, the umpire, and he described the conversation as amicable, and certainly there was a discussion about a free kick that had been paid a minute earlier. Obviously, you could see Jacob, who described the fact that he tried to explain with his body movement what he was talking about, and then Dustin decided to try and explain what he was meaning. But there was obvious contact made with the umpire, but he felt it was an amicable conversation.
Michael Christian there speaking yesterday. I'm sure there'll be plenty of discussion surrounding that decision on the Breakfast Club this morning. Sticking with footy for the time being, Taylor Adams was caught yesterday by Stevo at Scan TV. Maybe a little bit of an issue for Taylor Adams.
Yeah, it's a little niggle in my foot. I've actually had it since pre-season, so we're finally doing something about it. But yeah, I'll be certainly right to go this week. It's probably coming a good time, the bye. I think the boys were sort of on the edge of being overcooked, and the way we played against Melbourne was really promising.
Collingwood back this week against Carlton. They play 3:20 p.m. at the MCG. Definitely one the Pies should be able to bank. Now to Nathan Bassett. This is ahead of Friday night footy. Port Adelaide hosting Melbourne. Jack Watts played really well in the Sandfall on the weekend, picking up 3 goals along with over 20 possessions. So a good return to form in the secondary level. Although Nathan Bassett says it's no guarantee for him to return to the side.
Yeah, Jack went well. You know, he worked on the areas he needed to prove in, gave a good contest, brought the ball to ground. Finished well too. And it's good that there's some guys pushing for selection. There's some chance, but you know, in saying that, the guys that played performed well. Yeah, he was much stronger in the contest. Gave a great target for the Magpies team, and did a good job.
Nathan Bassett there speaking yesterday. Back to the Pies, and Nathan Buckley spoke last night on Channel 7. He's confident of Jordan Dugowie sticking around beyond this year.
Now, Jordy's been first class. He's wedded to the group, the playing group, and the leaders in particular have stepped him through the last couple of years of his career, have really helped him along on and off the field. And there's a really tight bond between he and the playing group. So it's, and you can see it in the way that he's enjoying his footy and coming out and playing. So we're pretty confident that that'll continue.
More footy to come a little later on in the Breakfast Bite. To World Cup action from overnight. The first game was our friends from the Asian Confederation, Korea. They went down 1-0 to Sweden. In the second game, Belgium, way too good for Panama, 3-0 winners. And currently locked in the 84th minute, it is Tunisia 1, England 1. That would be a massive result for Tunisia if they could walk away with a point from that one against England, who were much fancied heading into this contest. Meanwhile, the Socceroos have been out and about a couple of days after they lost to France over the weekend. They've only got a couple of days until their next game as well. It'll be Thursday night when they take on Denmark. Let's listen, first of all, to Trent Sainsbury, who spoke about the break between the two matches.
It was nice to have the family here yesterday, sort of just break up the routine, I guess. I'm not sure what the next few days are going to hold. It's my first World Cup campaign, so quite new to all this. But yeah, I'll just go with the flow and try and take it all in and enjoy it as much as I can. I think, honestly, coming away from the France game, it's sort of refueled us, knowing that we can, you know, tango with the best, I guess. So I know the boys are still running on high at the moment. I don't think that's going to change until after the last game against Peru and see where we are in the group stage then. You know, they've got a great team of players, not just an individual player. They've got players playing in top leagues around the world, so it's not just one threat that we've got to look out for. It's the same against France, and the coaching staff will have us well prepared, and if we need any information on any of the players, they'll provide it for us.
Trent Sainsbury there speaking yesterday. I'm sure his stocks are rising after continued solid performances for Australia. Did spend some time at Inter Milan last year, so he has been at a big club, and you'd expect that he'll move from his current club in China to somewhere around Europe in the top two or three leagues in the world. He was asked about the VAR and quite expansive on his answer as well. Two times on the weekend that the VAR was used in the Australia game against France.
I've never been a fan of the VAR. I've made that clear from day one. I'm a purist when it comes to football. And, but at the same time, if this is the way that it's going to go from now on, then so be it. I can't change that. I'm not the one sitting up in the box, and you just got to sort of roll with it, I guess. I can't change the way I play because of it. Just got to keep on rolling on.
Just on that, as a player.
Football can be a game of seconds or millimetres. And, you know, referees have got the hardest job in the world, I think. So to get them a little bit of help, it can, you know, I'm not really against that. But at the same time, when decisions go for you, you're happy. When decisions go against you, you're not happy. So it just, it is what it is, and we move on.
Trent Sainsbury there speaking yesterday. Just to finish on the Socceroos for the time being, Daniel Azani, he's been a breath of fresh air, and he was asked yesterday at his press conference, what it was like to make his World Cup debut.
Jesus Christ, this is pretty cool. you know, obviously warming up on the sideline, I was really excited and also nervous at the same time. But, you know, I was so happy to get out there. You know, it was really special. Yeah, definitely. I'm really happy, obviously, that there's a lot of people supporting me back home. But, you know, it's a tough question, isn't it? You know, the Aussie fans have always been, you know, behind the players a lot. And then you see people like Tim Cahill, who, you know, just everyone loves around the world. But, you know, I'm also very happy to have a following of my own.
Daniel Azani there speaking yesterday, the young starlet of the Socceroos team at the moment. We'll hear from Tommy Juric with a bit of an injury concern ahead of the game against Denmark in a little later on in the breakfast bite. To NRL news from yesterday, and this is going to be an odd build-up to Origin 2. There is no NRL this weekend, so the first time that the entire competition has taken the week off, and we'll see a standalone Origin game on Sunday night to be played in New South Wales, returning to Sydney for game two. Let's hear first of all from Brad Fittler, the New South Wales coach, on a number of injuries that were picked up by the team for their club sides after game one.
Speaking of the medical staff, everyone seems to be quite good, so a few players might be able to run, you know, Monday, Tuesday, but outside that, everyone should be right. No way. He's fine. He's all right. He's in pretty good spirits too. I think he's a bit embarrassed he got taken off on a stretcher, but it's good to see him smiling again, I've got to say. Oh, see, yeah, he's, I can't imagine he should have much problem running, but I will definitely keep him out of any sort of contact for a while. But like I said, he's in pretty good spirits, so he just says it was a pretty big scare at the time, and he's glad he came out of it.
Brad Fittler there on Latrell Mitchell, who will be able to line up for the Blues come Sunday night. To Nathan Cleary, who's one of the good stories from game one. He is the son of Ivan, who coaches in the NRL, but on the State of Origin stage, he made his name on his own. He spoke about facing Kalyn Ponga, possibly, in game two.
Yeah, Mick, he's been unbelievable. Just watching him each week, you know, he's actually really good to watch, and he's probably one of my favourite players at the moment. But, you know, I think we just got to be there in numbers. He loves a broken line, and he froths on that, you know. He shows his footwork and his speed, and, you know, if we don't go down in one line, especially on the kick chase, if he's playing fullback, then he'll give us a lot of trouble.
And to finish on Origin for the time being, Nathan Cleary here on how different Game 2 will be compared to the opening game at the MCG.
Yeah, I'm not too sure yet. We're still kind of just working out a game plan, hopefully to expand a bit on game one. You know, we kind of went in our shells a bit during that game, and we'll bog down our own end. So hopefully we can kind of use the footy a bit more and get it to our speedsters out wide. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how the game plans out. You know, Origin's one of those games where you've got to take the opportunities with both hands because they don't come very often, and that's definitely something I'll be taking from game one into game two.
There we go, Nathan Cleary in the build-up to Origin 2 on Sunday night, New South Wales taking on Queensland at 7 p.m. Just an update before we head to the ad break. Still 1-1 between Tunisia and England. This would be a disappointing result for the Poms if they can't get all 3 points. Currently locked at 1-1. 4 minutes of stoppage time to be added on. So they've got a bit of work to do. Currently have a corner. And we'll wait and see what they can produce in the next 4 minutes. But a little bit of panic going through the England camp at the moment. We'll update you on the result of that corner and the rest of the game on the other side of this on The Breakfast Bite. Stick around. It's 11 to 6.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back on your Tuesday morning. Andrew Mays with you for the next 6 or 7 minutes before we head up to the 6 o'clock news. Good news for the Poms. They've just scored. Harry Kane, he might have won it with a couple of moments to go. In fact, that has just gone full time. So Harry Kane winning it in the 92nd minute. England getting all 3 points in their first outing over Tunisia, who look absolutely devastated. 2-1. Good news for England. We'll head to Russell Milton to get some reaction in London. I'm sure they'll be up and about now that their World Cup campaign is looking a lot better than it did 3 or 4 minutes ago. To tennis from overnight, some more good news for the Australian players at the Mallorca Open. Stoser in straight sets, 6-2, 7-5. And Tom Lanovich also won, 6-4, 6-3. So both of those ladies through to the next round. They'll both play a little later on tonight, about 8:15, Tom Lanovich will be back on court, and they've both moved through there to the round of 32. To golf now, and Brooks Koepka, unbelievable effort to win the US Open yesterday. Caught up with Fox Sports after his win.
Feels great. You know, I've had a little bit of time to let it sink in. It's a great feeling. You know, to go back to back is incredibly difficult, and anytime you can defend a tournament you've won is pretty cool, and to do it at a U.S. Open is special. You know, I just keep plugging away. I don't get too mad, don't get too high, and you know, you just keep making those par putts. You feel like you're really gaining ground, even though you're not really gaining ground. It's a big confidence builder. Yeah, you know, being over the back in 11 is no good. You know, basically we were trying to make double at worst. And, you know, sometimes in the U.S. Open, you can put yourself in some spots where you don't want to be. And, you know, you got to find a way to make par or bogey at worst and get out of them. And we did a great job that today. And, you know, the putter kind of bailed me out. It's a lot better than having a one-shot buffer, I can promise you that. It's it was nice, you know, missing a left on 18. We kind of knew left was a little better than being right. And you've got, you know, two slopes to kind of work with. And, you know, it's always nice when you can two-putt from about, you know, 12 feet.
When are you going to come down to Australia?
Hopefully soon.
Yeah.
It's on the bucket list.
Brooks Koepka there, who caught up with Fox Sports yesterday. Hopefully we do see him down under soon. That'd be great to have another major champion playing in our Australian summer of golf. To rugby now, there's going to be some changes for the Wallabies this week. One of them will be replacing Will Guinea. Who will that be? Stephen Larkham, the attacking coach, had his say yesterday.
Yeah, he's an integral part of the team. There's no doubt about that. He's part of our strategy group, and he's had a very good combination there with the forward pack and the back line. So, yeah, he's definitely a big loss. But in saying that, we've got really good experience. In Nick Phipps, Joe Powell's been around the team now for the last 12 months. We just have to look at our strategy on the field and making sure the guys are comfortable with the strategy that we're going to the game with. Our execution with our kicking game and a lack of discipline in defence hurt us the most on the weekend. So canvas the group and we'll see whether that's the same tactic we want to go in with next week.
Back to the footy news from yesterday. We'll hear from David Asprey now, who was asked yesterday at recovery if the Tigers are a better team this year than last.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really believe that. And you know, we probably timed it really well last year, but I think that we're, you know, a more capable team this year. And yeah, we're sort of looking forward to showcasing that. Looking forward to another really big contest against Sydney, and Yeah, I think just not playing yesterday, not feeling too sore today, gives me every opportunity, and yeah, hopefully it gives us a good platform for the second half of the year.
To a former Tiger, Brett Deledio, he had his say on a suggestion from Wayne Swash that GWS and Gold Coast perhaps should pack their bags and be out of the competition.
I'm not sure about that. Look, I think, you know, the growth that we've seen already, I've seen certainly in the Western Sydney region up here, and I know the AFL are really trying to make this a national competition. I think that's really important for us. I know we've got Sydney up here, but I think us and the Giants really provide a different perspective and landscape there with you know, where we can reach in the western parts of New South Wales, as can the Gold Coast. You know, Brisbane's obviously in the heartland there, but then the Goldie as well with what they're trying to do. So, look, it's I certainly think it should be given a fair bit more time and effort put into it to see if we can make it really successful. And I think you'll start to see that if, you know, things don't just happen overnight. I'm sure if we culled every team when they first started the competition, then there might not be that competition.
GWS, Brett Deledio speaking there. They face the Lions on Saturday afternoon at the Gabba. At Thursday night footy returns this week. We are in the block of five Thursday night games in a row. West Coast face Essendon at Optus Stadium. Elliot Yeo spoke yesterday about Josh Kennedy. Bit of doubt hanging over his head.
He always has ice packs on him. He's a contested player, so he's always got some sort of ice pack on somewhere. So, yeah, I think it's just one of those ones where put up a little bit sore, but I think he should be okay.
Should be good to go. Plenty to come after 6 o'clock. Make sure you stick around after the news. It's a big breakfast club on its way. Half Whitey and Jimmy are in on your Tuesday morning. Max Gorn in the Prosper Inner Sanctum. Dane Zorko around the ground. Scotty Gullen from the Herald Sun. Mike Clayton on the US Open Golf will head to England early. Ben Hayes will join us ahead of his preparations at Ascot. Russell Milton on the Poms, who have scored a very, very late win in their opening World Cup game. The early mail before 7 o'clock. There is a lot to get through. So have a great Tuesday. We'll chat again tomorrow on The Breakfast Bite.